friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all that I have heard from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you, so that you will love one another. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Well, good morning, everyone. How lovely it is to be together, don't you think? And that sense of anticipation as we coming to worship. Good morning to you in the overflow room, and good morning to you at home watching through the wonders of technology. Last week, Anita told us from the first verses of John chapter 15 about the gardener who changes the whole landscape of life for Christians by cutting back and pruning so that we can be as fruitful as possible. And indeed, the whole of this reading today, the following verses, we find the purpose of being Jesus' disciples is precisely to be fruitful. Verse 16 of the reading we had today finishes, "You did not choose me," he says, "but I chose you and appointed you that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last." And the thing that we are to be fruitful in is love. Verses 9 to 17 of John's Gospel, chapter 15, is the application to all that Jesus was talking about when he was going on about the vine. "You are the branches, I'm the vine," he said. Well, this is the application, and the application is love. And he begins in verse 9, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love." Does that remind you of a song? Love, love, love. All you need is love. Difficulty is knowing what love is. Because it's not about emotional love, the kind of love that you feel when you like someone. When Jesus says, "Remain in my love," he sets a standard of love that completely changes the landscape. He wants his followers to live completely new, in a new way that is defined by a different concept of love. So we're going to just look at four aspects of this love that Jesus is talking about. Firstly, true love comes from God. You might not be surprised to hear me say that, especially if you've been in the church for a long time. So I'm going to say it in a slightly more shocking way. You can't properly love unless you have received love from God. "As the Father has loved me, so I love you. Now remain in my love." In other words, love comes from the Father to Jesus, from Jesus to the disciples, and the disciples love each other. The disciples are to go out into the world and be known by this love of God poured into them by the Holy Spirit, a love more powerful, more stronger than any human concept or can muster. So we need to know that we are dependent for the love we have. We need Jesus to give us the love of the Father. And that's why our prayer and worship is so important. We need it every day. Just as people pray for the needs of the world. We do it every day because we need God's love. So it's a good thing that our archbishops call us to pray, particularly between the day of Pentecost, the 13th of May this year, and the 23rd of May, sorry, between the day of Ascension, 13th of May, and the day of Pentecost, the 23rd of May. That day, those 10 days of particular prayer when we pray, Thy Kingdom Come. And the dates are published today, so they're in your notice sheet if you've looked at them online, or they'll be up on the screen later on. But there are two things that we're giving you today. One is this prayer diary journal that you can track yourself journaling through the 10 days as you pray. It's full of little tips and inspirations. And if you have a family, then you can download an app, and there's this digital adventure map that you can do with your children as well. As well as coming to the group things that we're going to do together on the Monday the 17th, Wednesday the 19th, and Saturday the 22nd. So there are some good things we can do in prayer together and on our own as we pray, Thy Kingdom Come, the Kingdom of Love to come, that we may remain in His love. So love comes from God. Secondly, love is obedient to God's will. Verse 10 in our text says, if you keep my commands, you remain in my love, just as I have kept the Father's commands and remain in his love. It's something of a mystery, actually, by which we have to experience it to be able to understand it. And even then, we'll find it difficult to explain. Love comes from obedience, and obedience comes from love. Out of love for the Father, Jesus did everything love can do. And out of doing everything that love can do for the Father, he knew the love of the Father. It's a kind of circular spiraling up of love. And this is why Jesus commands his followers to love, because he has done everything love can do for them. You know, I watch my eldest daughter, who's a young mother. She's 7 months as a mother now. And I watch how she creates that environment for her child in the hope that, and so that, her child will be free and willing to love her back. It's an inspiration when you see a mother doing such a thing. And we know that as children, when we were children and stepped out of the love of our father, our parents, because we did something they didn't want us to do, we know what that's like. And we know, if we're parents, what it's like when our child does that for us. We may not stop loving them, but relationships certainly do get strained or even broken. And Jesus wants his disciples to avoid broken relationships. Remain in my love, he says, keeping my command. Let your love for me desire what I desire. Desire forgiveness. Desire giving, desire helping out, desire helping, looking out for the poor and the vulnerable, feeding the hungry, being kind to our family, being honest and truthful, paying a fair wage and a full price, not dodging the tax man by paying cash to the builder or taking less cash from the client, giving back what you've borrowed, especially the vicar's theology books. Paying your debts. This is a tall order to live in this manner. That's why God gives us his Holy Spirit, pouring his love into our hearts by his Spirit, that we may be inwardly strengthened to do the things that are so difficult to do consistently. So secondly then, love is obedient to the will of God. Thirdly, love gives rise to joy. Verse 11, I've told you this so that my joy may be complete in you and that your joy may be complete. You see, the thing about love is that it's about fulfillment. And joy is the expression of that fulfillment. It's about being fully alive. That's at the core of human existence, the need to be loved and to love in return. Joy for Jesus was found in his love for the Father and his love for all God's people. Complete joy for Jesus was doing all things out of love for the Father and knowing his people doing all things out of love for him. The point is, Jesus didn't come to diminish our lives and make them miserable. He came to make us more human than we could otherwise be. He came that we may have life and life in all its fullness. He came that we may have freedom and joy, not slavery and drudgery. Love makes the lover and the beloved more human. And the thing about joy is that you can't get it directly. You can't pursue joy as an end in itself. It will escape you. It'll get away. It'll never be enough. True joy comes as a byproduct of something else. True joy comes when we give ourselves to loving other people. And then it creeps up unexpectedly. It's why people talk about being surprised by love. When your attention is on something or someone else, joy comes. When you're not looking for it, when you allow the love of Jesus to flow through you. Love comes from God. Love is obedient to God's will. Love is joyful. Fourthly, love is sacrificial. So at the end, we're given one of those best known verses. I've just lost it by turning my machinery off. Greater love is this, as this. There is no greater love than to lay down your life for your friends. Verse 13. That's what Jesus was doing, of course. The next day after he said this, he would die for his friends, laying down his life. And verse 12 powerfully tells us why he's laying it down. Love each other as I have loved you. Lay down your life for your friends. So for years, I was a man without any friends at all. Not one. I couldn't have had any friends because I didn't do Facebook. Well, I do have Facebook now, partly because of this pandemic thing. Actually, that's when I started doing it. And now I've got 41 friends, including my wife and one of my daughters. And I also have 72 friend requests, which are likely to remain friend requests. Most of the friends I do have on Facebook are as a consequence of being on a fire brigade old timers page that I signed up to, and they sent me friend requests and I kept clicking yes, yes, yes. So I've got 41 or thereabouts. I never talk to them. I never contribute to the page. I never follow them, and I've never asked anyone to be my friend. And I do wonder how many Facebook friends would remain friends and how many friend requests would be withdrawn if they thought that being a friend meant laying down your life. Not many, I think. But actually, God's people together are called to do just that, sharing our lives in sacrificial love together. So, this place is a wonder and a miracle. Our Orchards Project, testimony to the truth of this, an amazing amount of money pledged and given. People spending time painting and doing up and cutting trees and rooting out. People giving themselves to prayer for the empowerment of it all. Our sister Leslie was right at the center of that prayer for this place. People running errands, doing visits, taking care, contributing to the food bank and the homeless provisions, leading worship in word and in song. The spirit of life laid down is right here in this place. And not only for our friends in the church, of course. Most impressively, life laid down for our neighbourhood, for their well-being, to make their lives better as they traverse this world. This church is a good news place, sacrificially giving itself to the mission of this place. We could do better, I suppose, but we're doing well. It moves me, the amount of goodwill there is here. This is a place of life laid down in love. And Jesus says in verse 14, "You are my friends if you do my command." Well, there are plenty of people here who show themselves to be his friends. But it's not just that they are his friends, which they are, but that Jesus is their friend. "I no longer call you servants," he says, "because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I call you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father I've made known to you." Well, we know the Father's business, and that business is to change the landscape by love. Love that comes from God, that is expressed in obedience, that gives rise to joy and is wonderfully sacrificial. To be a friend of Jesus means living in a love like that. And the promise of verse 16 is that as we remain in his love, we can ask anything in his name. Anything that is in accordance with the will and purpose of the Father, he is pleased to give it. Not because we are good enough or have earned it, but because in his love, we come to ask for the right things. Things that are already given in Christ Jesus. It's an amazing promise. So we pray until we find that our prayers become fueled by the love that comes from God. That may take a time for our prayer to mold itself to God's purpose. It's love that comes from God, is obedient to God's will and purpose, gives rise to joy, and acts sacrificially. These are prayers that lead us to lay down our lives for our friend Jesus, who calls us his friend. So, Jesus finishes in verse 17 with that command where he started this application. Love each other. Because that's the way the will of God will continue to be done in our days, in our neighborhood, in us, and through us. Amen.